Hi there, and welcome back to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy, and I'm so glad you're here today. If you're in the postpartum season right now, there's a good chance you're listening to this episode while rocking a baby, folding laundry, grabbing a margin to yourself. And if you're anything like so many parents I've worked with, or me, when I was in that season, you might be running on fumes. We are talking today about sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation is a beast. It is one of the first things that I ask my clients about when they come in after having a baby. What does your sleep look like? Sleep deprivation is one of the hardest parts of early parenthood, and not just because you're tired, that's the obvious part, but because the ripple effects touch everything, your mood, your relationships, your physical health, your ability to feel present with your baby. So today I want to talk about protecting your sleep and getting restorative rest, even when your baby is nowhere near sleeping through the night. We'll talk about the why your sleep matters, the how to get more restorative chunks, and the relational side. So how to navigate these conversations with your partner without spiraling into what can oftentimes show up and definitely did for my husband and I back when our oldest was a baby and newborn, gosh, almost 14 years ago, resentment and defensiveness. Yup. So this is about giving you permission to value your sleep and the tools to help you protect it. Okay, let's start with the why. Why does parental sleep matter? Somewhere along the way, parenting culture decided that good parents, and I'm doing some air quotes here, sacrifice everything, and sleep is at the top of that list. We hear it in jokes. Say goodbye to sleep for the next 18 years or whatever. We see it in the memes that make exhaustion look like a badge of honor. And yes, waking up at night for feeds and comfort is a normal part of having a baby, but there's a difference between accepting some disrupted sleep and navigating that breastfeeding journey if you are breastfeeding, and treating your own rest like it's unimportant. Okay, so here's the truth. Without enough consolidated sleep, your ability to regulate emotions, it really tanks. So you're more likely to feel snappy, impatient, like, you know, that feeling where you're just like on the edge of tearfulness at any moment. Your stress tolerance really diminishes too, making like small inconveniences feel huge. Your physical health, you know, from your immune system to your hormone balance, you know, to being able to, gosh, heal after this huge event that birth is, takes a hit too. And maybe most importantly, your capacity to be present with your baby is affected. And so I remember I was so bought into this idea that a good mom was the one that was up all night with her baby. And I would wake up the next morning so irritable, so exhausted, and it was so hard to stay present. And then that actually fed into my anxiety because I felt like I was super foggy and like missing things, missing cues, couldn't like trust myself, and it just became this awful cycle, and definitely was, it played a huge part into what eventually became my postpartum anxiety for me. And so consolidated sleep, really, here is the key. Like, if you've experienced a 4-hour chunk when you are so sleep deprived, you know what I'm talking about, how life-giving that is. I mean, 6 hours, could you imagine? My gosh. So truly, a single 4-hour stretch can be restorative in a way that broken sleep is not. So the question isn't, how do I make my baby sleep through the night at this point, right? Like, some babies aren't there yet, and yet you still need consolidated sleep. So the question becomes, how can I get my brain and body the rest that it needs separate from my baby's patterns? And I know what the questions are that come immediately after this, right? Okay, so like, who? If it's not me, then who? And then how is that going to work? Navigating breastfeeding, navigating the relationship dynamics, activating support there. How am I going to get sleep when like I'm so sensitive to every little sound my baby's making? Yeah, I get it. So let's address these things here now. Let's start by exploring the breastfeeding piece. So if you are the birthing parent and if you're breastfeeding, you feel the weight of the expectation, the pressure, whether it's from yourself or the community context around you, people around you, the culture around you, it's in the air you're breathing, that you should be the one to handle all the night wakings. And this expectation can often sound like, I'm the one with the milk, so it has to be me. I don't want to disrupt my partner's sleep because they work outside the home. I hear that one often. If I ask for help, does that mean I'm not committed enough to breastfeeding? These thoughts can make you feel trapped. I know I felt trapped in them. Like your only options are to either power through the exhaustion or stop breastfeeding altogether. So let's explore this a little bit. First and foremost, one of the first things that I will talk to my clients about when we're talking about the impact of sleep deprivation on their life and the pressure that they're feeling around breastfeeding or just the, complex relationship they have with being the feeding source, full feeding source for their child and how difficult that is, okay, we need to find a way for you to make sure you're getting support around the breastfeeding piece. Because I know that's going to be a huge block or barrier to getting that consolidated sleep. Newborns are, they're not going to go 4 hours, right, before they need to eat again. And so that is going to be a huge piece of it. So the first step we're going to do is get lactation support. And I love lactation consultants, but not all support is created equal. I've definitely met and worked with lactation consultants where I felt really supported in navigating whatever it was that my feeding goals were, and also support where I felt pressure. And so it's really important to get support where you're able to articulate and feel heard and validated in that you are needing sleep, your mental health is impacted by sleep, and that you are looking to navigate this breastfeeding journey without breastfeeding being the like end all be all. Does that make sense? Like, I love breast milk. It is remarkable. It is incredible. But what your child needs more than they need any drop of your milk is they need you to be well. The positive impact, the beautiful impact that having a well parent has on a child outranks all of the beautiful, remarkable things that breast milk provides. And I love breast milk, okay? I believe in it. I know it's incredible. But you being well outranks that. And having lactation support that honors that and really sees that is so, so, so important. And so let's name that with your lactation support, or if you're interviewing different folks to get that support. And if you're like, I'm sleep deprived, I cannot be interviewing people, I just need the support, then that's where we activate someone else. When someone else is like, how can I help? You're like, hey, I am needing to find lactation support, and it's really important to me that this person is also going to prioritize my mental health in all of this. Can you help me find someone that could be a good match? Okay, so here are some things I want you to know. You can breastfeed and still share the load. With lactation support, if pumping is an option for you, consider having a partner or support person give a bottle for one of the night feeds. You can get a longer stretch of sleep. And I know this might feel initially like to somebody who's not in it, like duh, but when you are in it, this feels really, really hard for so many different reasons. Maybe one, if you're like me, when you wake up after 4 hours, you might have plugged milk ducts, right? I was at risk with all my babies for mastitis. I got mastitis with all my babies. And so that felt like a no-go for me to have someone give a bottle. And like the pumping was really tricky. And so let's acknowledge that. But if this is an option, let's take it. Even one protected block can make a big difference for your mood and energy. Now, let's say that you are not in a position for one reason or another to go 4 hours without having your milk move. Now, in this case, what I did with my second, once we did a lot of work and healing after the first, was we activated our support system. So my husband struggled with postpartum depression with our first, and I had postpartum anxiety. And so protecting both of our sleep was really important. And we'll talk more about ways in which partners can share the load at night. But if both partners are struggling, which we did with our first, what we did with our second was we activated outside support. For us, that looked like my mother-in-law sleeping in the room with the baby. And I know that might not be your mother-in-law for you. That might be a friend, or that might be hired support, a nighttime doula, a night nurse. That might look like and someone else in your life that you feel you can really trust that would be so honored to show up for you in that way, or is a paid support if that is within your means, or maybe somebody else can pay for that support and that's their way of helping from afar. What we did is we had my mother-in-law sleeping in the room with the baby. When the baby woke up, she brought the baby to me, and I, with an eye mask on and earplugs in to tune out all the little grunts, all the little noises that my nervous system was so sensitive to, because from an evolutionary perspective, that makes sense. The ones who survived, my ancestors who survived and their young survived, were the ones who were on high alert at night and when their baby was so young. So I had an eye mask on, earplugs in. She would bring the baby to me. And while laying on my side, I would feed the baby like half asleep. She stayed there to make sure the baby was safe. I had lactation support to help me figure out how to do these sort of sideline sleep feeds while I'm laying on my side. Then she would take the baby when we were done. She would burp the baby. She would change a diaper. She would clean up. She would re-swaddle. She would help the baby go back to sleep. And this allowed me to stay drowsy but awake, and allowed me to more easily go into sleep again. So baby was in a separate space. There was someone else with the baby. I'm only feeding on my side. I'm keeping the earplugs in, the eye mask on if I can. Lights are staying low, and they're doing everything else. And so the point here is that nighttime help isn't only about feedings. Even if you're the only one who can feed for whatever reason, your partner or a support person can handle the other pieces. Getting the baby, the burping, changing the diaper, soothing back to sleep while you stay in bed. That shortens the time that you're awake and helps you fall back asleep faster. And now we're also going to protect your off-duty hours. So if your baby tends to cluster feed in the evening, maybe your partner or a support person takes the early morning shift so you can sleep in, or handles the bedtime routine so you can nap before that first wake up. Remember that your rest matters too. So feeding your baby is important, but so is preserving your mental and physical health. So you are not less committed to breastfeeding if you also prioritize your own recovery. And so this might look like exploring different ways that you bring in formula and supplement. Or maybe you make the choice to wean in order to prioritize your mental health. Because if you are able to recognize, my gosh, my mental health is being impacted by this, I need restorative rest. This does not make you less than. This does not make you bad. This does not mean you are a failure. This means you are a human being who is actually never meant to do this alone. You know, I think that our ancestors were breastfeeding each other's babies so that the one who just had the baby is able to get some sleep. I firmly believe that. And so in this day and age, if that is not something that we are doing, we have other options. And thank goodness we do. The genius of human beings to create other options for us to get that rest, and so that we can nourish our child while also nourishing ourselves. Bless that. Thank goodness we have that. Feeding decisions don't have to be all or nothing. Gosh, but I know how it feels like it can be. And that's something that my anxious part would tell me. It would make things very all or nothing. But it doesn't have to be. This is anxiety in the driver's seat, right? And so if me gets back in the driver's seat, the part of me that can access things like clarity, compassion for the situation, can have the courage to ask for help, can get creative with the different options, when I'm able to access that self version of me in the driver's seat, all of a sudden these options tend to open up and they can be tailored to what works for your family. And if you're feeling guilt about asking for help around feeding, I want you to picture your baby as a toddler or a preschooler, and then a child in middle school and a teen and an adult. What would you want them to know about rest, about asking for help, about caring for their own needs? And you have permission to model that now. And if you're also worried about asking somebody for help, activating your support system, how honored would you feel if somebody came to you and said, I'm struggling, I really could use a consolidated 4-hour stretch of sleep tonight or sometime this week, and just knowing that that was coming would just be life-giving? Could you be that person for me? How wonderful would it feel if they were like, I need help finding a lactation consultant. Can you help me with this one task? I would be so honored. And so would they. So let's just hold that in mind when you find yourself struggling with asking for that support. Hey there, if you are a California, Nevada, or New York-based parent, we are accepting new clients. If you reach out to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com, you can learn more about my group private practice that supports millennial parents. If you're struggling with triggers as a parent, anxiety, relationships, boundaries, if you're trying to process a traumatic birth experience, or you're navigating fertility or pregnancy loss, we are here for you. If you are ready to take the next step in getting support with therapy, head to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com. Then click on the contact page and fill out that form. That is you sending an email directly to me. I will follow up with you and I will make sure that you will get connected with the right therapist in our group. And that's me included. We work with both individuals and couples. So if you are ready to take that next step, head to that link in the show notes. I am so excited to connect with you. I want to talk to you now about the partner piece of this puzzle, because it was something that I know a lot of my clients find themselves struggling with in navigating with their partners, and was definitely something that my husband and I struggled with as well. For many couples, how you handle sleep decisions can really set the tone for so much of your postpartum communication. Because let's be honest, when you're sleep deprived, your communication is going to be a little rougher around the edges. And so you're already sleep deprived, and now you're trying to figure out how can we get sleep. And it's not pretty, you know? It's not easy. So picture this. You have probably been, in some way, shape, or form, quietly researching baby sleep for a while, for weeks, maybe before your baby was even born. Your algorithm has figured out that you've had a baby. Your algorithm is serving you baby sleep content. And maybe you're listening to this episode and you want to take some steps to get some restorative rest. Or maybe there's any sleep decision, but whether it's around your baby sleep or your sleep, and you want to share it with your partner. Expecting, hoping for some relief and some togetherness on this. And instead, maybe you get hesitation or skepticism or just like not willing to support you in getting more rest at night. And so in that moment, understandably so, frustration boils up. You're exhausted. You've been carrying the mental load and it feels like you're alone in wanting some change. Those feelings matter. This isn't you being too much. It's information and data about deeper needs, wanting to be heard, wanting shared responsibility, and oh my gosh, wanting some rest. So I have this framework that I like to use with clients and that I'll share with you here that I'm calling SNORE, S-N-O-R-E. Now, snore is something that we are going to bring to mind when it comes to bringing up these hard conversations with our partners about sleep decisions? And you know what? This could probably work for other things too. Okay, S is slow down. Pause before we just react. There is so much magic that happens in the margins between a trigger and response. And there is some space there, space to decide, how do I want to approach this? And when we slow down, and what the research actually indicates, when we soften the startup, this comes from John and Julie Gottman, who've done decades of research around couples. When we soften the startup, that is a really strong predictor for how the rest of that communication is going to go. So slow down, give yourself a breath to notice what's really going on under the surface for you. Maybe it feels like anger and frustration, but what could potentially be underneath that is feeling alone, feeling overwhelmed, feelings of exhaustion. Which brings us to N. This is a good transition to N, which is notice and naming your needs. And here's what it might sound like. I am feeling really overwhelmed. I am struggling. I am so tired. I feel exhausted to my bones. I need more rest to be present during the day. I'm feeling really disconnected and like I can't be present and I'm missing things. I need us to feel like a team. And then we go to O, opening up and offering space to listen. So maybe we say something like, this matters to me because of blank. And I want to understand what's on your mind and what matters to you as it relates to this. R is resisting hashing it out at 3 a.m. So you're both operating at your worst then. So if it is the middle of the night and this stuff is really present and it's coming up, agree to revisit later. And then E is executing your plan together. Decide clearly who's going to do what, when. Write it down so there's no guessing. Maybe as part of your expressing, noticing, and naming your needs, you're also expressing that you would like for them to listen to this podcast episode or to read a blog post or to take this course with you so that you guys can get on the same page as it relates to sleep. Or maybe together you're going to be figuring out a plan to activate outside support or ways that you guys are going to share the load at night and what those tasks are going to look like. The goal here isn't convincing. It's about connection. Because when you two stay connected, you're far more likely to get to a solution that works. And I'm telling you, setting the stage here for the two of you to feel like you're on the same team and feeling connected is so protective for both of your mental health and your relationship here moving forward. Okay, so what are the practical rest strategies? Now, you've named a few of them here already, but let's just go through them as a list. If you have a partner, one, splitting the night into shifts. Example, one partner takes 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., the other takes 1 a.m. to 6 a.m., each of you getting a block of uninterrupted rest. Or you're just more splitting the tasks, right? So also who's getting baby ready for sleep, and maybe while that person is doing all of those sort of nighttime get ready plans, the other one is resting. Maybe this is also taking into consideration meals, taking into consideration what's going on the next day. And let me be clear here that even if the non-birthing partner, if your partner is going to a job the next day, their paid job, the unpaid job of you being home potentially with the baby all day is very important and is a job and takes a lot of mental load and responsibility and also requires you to be well rested. So let's just make sure that that's being honored here. A recommendation here is that the off-shift partner sleeps in another room if possible, with earplugs, an eye mask on, tuning out those senses. This prevents both of you from waking up unnecessarily if one of you is trying to get some consolidated rest. If you're breastfeeding, your partner can handle all the other things, okay? The burping, the diaper changes, the soothing so you can fall back asleep quickly. If it's your rest window, your partner only wakes you for emergencies or planned feeds. No quick questions or sense you're up requests, okay? Planning ahead for the morning. So if you've had the rougher night, can your partner take the morning shift so you get a final stretch of rest? If you don't have a partner, maybe you trade time with a friend or family member. Find another parent to swap naps with. You watch their baby for an hour one day, they watch yours another. Hiring short-term help if possible. Even one night a week, even just knowing that that's coming with like a postpartum doula or a night nurse or babysitter covering an early morning can really make a big difference. Let's look into your community resources as well. Maybe your local mom groups or church or faith communities. Maybe go on Facebook and see what some resources are in your area as well. Now, I recognize that sometimes when you're sleep deprived, looking for resources is tricky too. So maybe that's what you activate support around, is asking someone for help and finding what some of those resources might look like in your community. Okay, what about this common advice to sleep when the baby sleeps? All right, I know, it's annoying. And I've seen the videos, the reels, TikToks, where people are teasing that advice, where they're walking their baby and the baby falls asleep in the stroller, and then they're like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to sleep when the baby sleeps, and they just like take a little nap on the sidewalk. Okay, not always realistic, right? Or not always possible to sleep when the baby sleeps. But what if when we are home and our baby is asleep, that we are able to optimize that time by actually not optimizing the time in the sense of we are lowering the bar for things like housework, and we're maybe really conscientious of our boundaries of just not getting on our phone. If you have other kids and you're like, I want to be present with my kids during that time, gosh, you will be more present with your kids during that time if you're getting restorative rest at night too. So all the other advice here comes into play there. But let's say that you could really use some day rest too, and you've got older other kids. Maybe that's what you activate the support for, right? Maybe it's, can you take my older kids out of the house so that I can rest while my baby's resting? And then sleep hygiene is really important. So when you are thinking about sleep, it's important that you only use your sleep area for sleep and sex, if that's happening right now. Maybe white noise to mask any other sounds, making sure that you're not scrolling before bed. Maybe you find a gentle wind down routine. Even if it's just like, you know, a few minutes where you use a LED mask, red light mask, and you maybe have a heating pad that you use to kind of just help soothe yourself. Or there's a really soothing tea that you drink before bed. Or a book that you read, you know, whatever the case might be, finding some sort of routine that is soothing to you, making sure that you're keeping the lights dark and so that you're not going to be woken up by the sun if that's the case. So sleep hygiene is important here too. And so let's talk also though about when sleep isn't just about sleep. So sometimes the barrier isn't just your baby waking, it's your own mind and body having trouble shutting down. This definitely was the case for me as well. So let's say you finally have a chance to rest, and now your anxious part is spinning. Did I lock the door? Is that the baby? What if I oversleep? Or just all the other things that your mind could spin around. What's going on with the world? What's going on with my other kids? What are all the to-dos I have coming up? Oh gosh. We need to find a babysitter, a nanny. Work's coming up soon. My maternity leave is ending. My gosh, all the things. If this is you, this can be a sign of anxiety, hypervigilance, intrusive thoughts, all of which are more common in postpartum. But if it's impacting your functioning, which if it's impacting your ability to sleep, which impacts your functioning too, could be a sign of actually PPA, postpartum anxiety, or maybe even postpartum depression, postpartum OCD. There's a lot of different ways in which these sort of spinning around in our thoughts can be showing up. And if this is you, I do think it can be really supportive to reach out for support. My gosh, you don't need to have this to be reaching out for support. You could be reaching out for support at any level, but I'm talking about if this is anxiety that's impacting your ability to sleep. Therapy is a really great start to helping you navigate a new relationship with your anxiety. Addressing this from an approach that is evidence-based is really important because anxiety is one of those things where it's not going anywhere, and there are tools that we can learn and equip ourselves with to respond to anxiety when it shows up in these ways. And so if you're looking for a therapist in your area, you can head to the show notes where I do have links to offer support not only within my own practice, but also helping you find somebody who maybe takes similar approaches in your own area. Okay, here's what I want you to remember. Your rest is not indulgent, it's essential. Protecting your sleep isn't about you being selfish. It's about sustaining your ability to parent in the way that you want to. It's about preserving your mental health, your relationships, and your ability to enjoy your baby. So I'm gonna ask you to just here start small. You can always come back to this episode if there's other things that you wanna try next. But let's just choose one strategy to try tonight. Maybe it's having a conversation with your partner today about dividing the load tonight. Maybe you give yourself permission to let something slide so you can rest today. Maybe you're going to reach out to one support person and ask them to help with something specific. And I really want you to celebrate even those small wins. An extra hour of uninterrupted sleep is progress. A calmer bedtime routine is progress. Feeling heard in a conversation is progress. And also, I am telling you, I wish I could bottle this up, this perspective. The season will not last forever. I remember feeling with my first, like, oh my gosh, what did we do? I'm never going to feel like myself again. And guess what? I am different now because I'm a mom, but I sleep through the night. And sometimes I have to wake my kids up and get them moving now. But oh, it was so hard to access that. And I think I would have probably wanted to smack someone in the moment if they were trying to tell me, like, enjoy this now or it's going to get better. Just trust me. It's like, I'm just struggling. So, you know, I wish I could bottle it up, the perspective that it won't last forever. But the habits you create now about valuing and protecting your needs and modeling that and finding ways to navigate this with your partner can serve you for years to come. And so if you would like all of this written out somewhere, the snore framework, the solo parent strategies, the sample shift splitting plan written out, I've created a Substack for you with all of this. So if you go to my link in the show notes, you can access the Substack that accompanies this episode, and it's all written out there for you. So thank you for sharing part of your precious energy with me today. Until next time, I hope that you take care of yourself the way that you take care of your little one and all of those around you. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, you might want to hit that subscribe button to be the first to know when future episodes air. And go and explore some of those past episodes. Maybe there's a topic in there that you've really been wanting to learn more about. You can learn more about my private practice as well as my parenting courses and workshops at the link in the show notes. You held space for yourself today. You carved out the time and you tuned in to this episode. I hope you take a moment to honor how meaningful that is. Yes, to me for sure, but also for you. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.